Perek Lamed Vav Pasach of Zayin V'Yesruchiyatim B'Kibach V'Hashem says, I will go and I will give, I will insert you, my spirit B'Kibachem V'Yosisi Eis Asher B'Chukai Tileichu, and I will do Eis Asher B'Chukai Tileichu Mishpatai Tishmru V'Asisem, and I will do that with regard to my chukim and my mishpatim. Now, what exactly does that mean? Let's see a little more detail in the mitzvah stuff. Pasuk of Zayin v'Yeshruchi, Ritzon Olaymar, Achazir lochem ruach hanavua ma'ashohoye nechsar kol yimei ha'goyle. Unbelievable mitzvah stuff. He learns that this pasuk is a revelation that prophecy will return at Yimos HaMashiach. That's very, why is it necessary? Why is it necessary that nevua should return Yimos HaMashiach? Okay, that's a good question. I don't know, because we don't really know what Nevuah is. So you can get the impression, that Nevuah is only something which is necessary at a time of Golos. When
we're competing with the cement right now.
All right, is it better?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I think it's better now. It's okay now. It's good now. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right, correct.
So then, and we still have that.
Right, exactly.
To the extent that we have that.
So you don't need Nevuah.
Right.
Exactly. So it's a very interesting idea, because the Nevuah generally, the Sefer Nevuah that we study, is all Musar. It's Ruba Deruba Musar. So the Musar is taking place during times when Klal Yisrael are doing Averos. But if now at this point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pour upon us Kiddusha Utahara, as we discussed yesterday, so there's no longer a need for the Musar. So there's no longer a need for the Nevuah. So why then is it necessary that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will restore Nevuah in the times of Mashiach? At least according to the interpretation of the Mitzudos David. So obviously there's something about Nevuah that we do not know. There's more to it. There's a dimension of Nevuah which is beneficial even at the time when Klal Yisrael is doing the Ritzoyno Yishel Mokai. Okay, so that's what the Mitzvah Stavim says. I'm going to Loimar, Achzir Lohem Ruach HaNavua, Ma Shohoye Nechzar Kol Yimei HaGoyel Lavi Yosisi, and I will do Ritzoyno Loimar, O'ir Levavchem Shetelchu Bichukai, I will arouse your hearts to go in my laws, V'lishma Mishpatai Balev V'lasoysam. So here it says, when he translates the pasuk, I'm going to the Osisi is not to be translated literally, because it doesn't make sense then in the pasuk. The Osisi means I'm going to inspire you. It's not a literal translation. I will inspire you to do my chukim and my mishpatim. Okay, so read the pasuk again one more time inside. The pasuk says, V'esruchi etein b'kirbechem, according to the mitzudos, I will restore the koyach of nevuah, not a spirit of a will, a desire to serve Hashem, but much more than that, the Asisi, I will arouse you, I will awaken you, Eis Asher Bichukai Teilechu, that you should observe my chukim, Umishpotai Tishmeru, you shall observe my mishpatim, the Asisim, and you shall do them. What does Rashi say? There is none. What does Radak say? Radak Pasikhov Zayin, Vyes Ruchi, Vyas Ruach Kudshi. So that's not what the Mitzudos said. He says,
right.
Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh is not the same as Nevuah. It just means a Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean Nevuah is a whole different Madrega. Who knows? Maybe according to the Radak, according to Targum, maybe at the times of Mashiach, I mean, we don't know how things are going to play out. Is it necessary that there be among us Nevi'im?
Called the oracular role will not be necessary either, and that leaves the role of Navi as
Torah,
a transmitter of a deeper level
of the Torah. In a Hanami, So, okay, so that's a very interesting topic of discussion, a very good Maramachim here, this Pasuk. How do you translate this Pasuk?
I got that from Rabbi Grunblatt's
book. Whose book?
Rabbi
Grunblatt's book. Okay, so this is a very interesting topic of discussion. Will there be Nevuah at the times of Mashiach? Is it necessary? Okay, Pasuk of Ches, V'shaftem Aris, Asher Nosati Lavoseichem. Here, you'll once again dwell in the land which I've given to your forefathers. V'yisamli La'am. You'll be to me as a people, and I'll be to you as a God. Now notice here it says the emphasis is that you're going to live in the land that was given to your forefathers. It does not say here that you're going to live in the land I'm giving to you. Okay, so we learn, there's a psukim appear over and over, the idea that Hashem is going to forge with us a new covenant, which can give you the impression, and maybe if you look in the commentators, maybe some of them indeed learn like this, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us the land once again in our merit. Until this point in time, the land is given to us from the Avos, from Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. When Mashiach comes, we're going to get the land back once again. When we get the land back once again, is that the same thing all over again, just continuing the legacy of the Avos? Or maybe when Hashem gives us Eretz Yisrael in times of Mashiach, gives us sovereignty, maybe that's going to be a new gift. It's a new gift. In addition to the concept of having it from your forefathers, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving it to us once again. Here this pasuk emphasizes, no, when you go, when times of Mashiach come, now you go back to Eretz Yisrael, even though it says there's going to be a new bris, a new covenant, and many times it says that idea, yeah. A bris chadasha, a Torah chadasha,
yeah.
There's a lot of chidush, yet it says the land, the location, it's all a continued legacy from the Avos. Okay, that's this pasuk here. I don't know. You have to go study the whole Tanakh and see maybe there are different interpretations, different layers. Maybe some of the Nevi'im there are different dimensions to the gift of Eretz Yisrael. But over here it says V'la'al Avoseichem. Just keep that in mind. Okay, let's see another pasuk. Fugim Farsha pasuk Chaf Lufim Sugim together pasuk Chaf Tetz V'Hashati Yeschem. I'm going to save you Mikol Tumoseichem. That's a very funny thing to say. It's very unusual. I'm going to save you from Tumah. What do you mean going to save you from Tumah? Tumah is a contamination, and it's for us to go. We just finished learning. Is Hashem's going to sprinkle upon us the Paradum water to purify us? So what do you mean to save us? I'm going to save you from Tumah. Where Tumah is like running after us? What do you mean I'm going to save you? This is not a term that a person would construct. If you were writing about that all different things of Tumah, I'm going to save you from Tumah?
I would say prevent.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to prevent you, I'm going to prevent you from becoming Tumah.
Or prevent Tumah from coming to you.
Okay, fine, something along, but it's a very bizarre expression.
Or separate
you from Tumah. I'm going to remove the Tumah from the world. I'm going to quarantine the Tumah. What's that? I'm going to save you, Mikol Tumo Seichem. And the way it's also constructed here is that you're already Tame. Mikol Tumo Seichem. You're already Tame. There's Tuma amongst you, and it's within you. And the Tuma that's within you is growing. It's overtaking you. And I'm going to save you from this power of Tuma. That's not the impression we got from the previous Sukkim where it says, I'm going to sprinkle upon you the Mayim Tahar, you're going to become Tar. So obviously there are different dimensions to Tuma. This, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sprinkled upon us Tumah, and with Tahar, it says in the previous Pasuk, right? Isn't that what it said in the Pasuk? And now, how come it says, weren't we already Tahar? What's going on here? This is a continuation. There's no break. There's not a separate prophecy. So once already Tahar, so what's the problem? So obviously there are different dimensions to Tumah. The classic example, is when a person, Achamev Eshmi, dies, the Chevra Kadisha immerses the body in a mikvah, or they pour on the body Tisha Kabin. What is that all about? The mace is the Avi Avoy Satumah. It's like HaToivel V'Sheretz Biyodo on steroids. Right? HaToivel V'Sher, you toivel in the mikvah while you're holding on to a Sheretz. If you toivel the mace, the mace is the greatest form of Tumah. It's the Avi Avoy Satumah. So what is the purpose of putting the mace in the mikvah? It doesn't make any sense. The answer is no, it doesn't make sense, because there are different types of tumah. In Ochanami, the tumas hames, that doesn't go away. But this tumas keri. This tumas keri. When a person releases keri, he becomes tameh. That tumah has nothing to do with tumas mes. And Chazal say that when a person sees the malacham, when a person is in the state of pachad, there is an involuntary release of keri. Esther is vatis chalchal hamalchom eoid. She was parsa nida. So that is a form of tumah. It was an involuntary action when a person is in the moment of death and he sees the malach hamavis in front of him, which Chazal say the person in the dumb patira sees things that the ordinary person does not see, is a pachat, and that pachat can cause an involuntary release of keri, he's tamei. So the reason, and certainly if he was tamei from before, let's say his whole life he never went to mikvah, some people never went to mikvah. So therefore the reason why the Chayav HaKadisha puts the mace in the mikvah, pours Tisha Kav, is to remove the tumas keri. That tumah has nothing to do with tumas mace. Tumas mace is not going anywhere, but tumas keri can be removed. So what do you learn from that halacha? That there are different types of tumah.
Right.
Different types of tumah. So here as well, over here Hashem is, I'm going to sprinkle upon you the mayim tohirim. That's tumas mace. Right? Paradumu water, sprinkling paradumu water with tumas mace.
But the word in the pasuk is recall or tumasek.
You both say recall, but the problem, not problem, but it shows you to prove what you just said. It says, Mayim Tohorim Utartem in Pasik Kopei. And then it says, after the Esnachta, it's a new phrase, we call to Mosechem, we call Gululecha. In other words, there's a certain tumah that you have, like that we understand basically.
Only,
and then
there's
a tumah of the brain, of the, you know, whatever,
oh,
things like that.
And we learned yesterday the words are Taher Esam, according to the Rabbi Meir. According to Mamzerim, Mamzerus. So Mamzerus is a type of tumah as well. So you see, what you learn over here is that there are many, many dimensions, or many different types of tumah. So just because we had the paraduba water, and that's going to cleanse us from one form of tumah, it appears here in this passage that there's another tumah that's within us, another form of contamination, that is alive and well, and that cannot be removed. It cannot be removed so quickly. And in fact, it not only cannot be removed, it is a danger, it is a threat. It's a roidef. It's a threat to us. It's alive and well, and it's expanding, and it's overtaking us. And Hashem says, I'm going to save you. From this type of tumah, I can't yet remove it from you, but at least I'm going to save you from it consuming you, completely overwhelming you. That's what it says in the past. It's a very interesting idea. Shati es, I'm going to save you. Means someone's running after, someone's trying to overtake us, someone's trying to kill us. I'm going to save you, mikol tumasichem v'korasi, and that's one idea. Then the pasuk goes on to say, v'korasi anu, very interesting, very bizarre concept that you don't have anywhere else. V'korasi el hadagon v'hir besios, I'm going to call out to the grain. Hashem is going to tell the grain, you know, I want you to increase. When do you find the Kadosh Baruch Hu speaking this expression, being calling out to the grain? We say in Kriya Shema, I will give the grain. Okay, the Hoya im Shmoya Tishmuel Mitzvah Shunach Mitzvah Sahayam Leaba, the Nasati Asa Besadcha Levdecha Bechalta Vitzvata, I will give Asaf. Besadcha Levdecha, the other Sukkim, the Gonecha, the Siroshcha, the Yitzarecha, the Chalta, all different Sukkim, my mind is all mixed up, but there are many Sukkim, Hashem Himself directly gives these things. All of a sudden, Hashem now is distancing Himself. I'm not the boss anymore here. I'm going to give a command to my shaliach, the Dagon, and the Dagon will listen to me and will produce. You would think in time of Mashiach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even more involved. I don't know the answer. I'm just pointing out the bizarre, yeah?
When you have psukim like these, or any psukim
yeah,
that involve the ultimate future, they're very ambiguous, very murky. And that's why we have so much speculation about what will the world look like
exactly
at that time.
Exactly.
And it's
when Mashiach will come,
here is anybody's right guess.
When we'll look back after this will have happened, we'll look back, it's obvious what this means. Right? It'll be like so, it'll stand out. Of course, what we understand, Hashem is going to call out to the Dagon. But at this point in time, we don't know what this means. But at least we should take note of the ambiguity of the matter and yearned to see what it will mean. Yeah.
I'm reading, learning the sections in heaven. They're talking about Adam and Eve, and everything was prepared for him before, and all the fruits and everything that was prepared before, like quickly, it grew right away. It didn't have to, take the time to sprout and grow and grow.
Right.
And is that the same concept here? That Hashem will immediately have it ready for, just like Adam and Eve.
Maybe.
Have immediately
maybe
all the products.
But we don't know at what stage these things take place.
Okay, we don't know. So the Korasi El Adog El Dogan V basically so called to increase for Loyatin Alechem, but I will not put upon you famine. Pasik Lamid, we hear Basias Priaris, I will cause the fruits of the earth to increase. Usnuva Sasode and the Tnuva and the Tnuva Tnuva Sasode. So that's a very what's
is that where the expression comes from? In the Bracha?
I guess so. Do we have in Chumash? Usnuva Sasode. Look at the Mitzudos Tzioin, Usnuvas Inyan Tzemach. Tenuva means a sprout. Es Tzemach David Avdach Amir Satzmiach. Upri V'chein Bayochal Tenuva Sodai, Leman, Asher Lo Sikhu Oid Cherpas Ra'av Vagoyim, in order that you shall no longer bear the shame of famine amongst the nations. In other words, we'll see in the Mitzudos is that when you don't have what to eat, the goyim say, what kind of God do you have? If you really have a true God, how come he cannot provide your sustenance? Why do you need to come on to international aid to feed your people? Tzechil Hashem. They insult us. So once we become independent, and we produce, and we are the exporters of produce, then we will no longer suffer the insult of the nations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot take care of us ourselves. Interesting, you talk about the prut, that was the Daf Yomi, was it yesterday or the day before, is that fruit, you're not allowed to live in a city where they don't have fruit. The Gemara says, right. The Gemara gives a price of all the things that are necessary to live in a city, a barber,
right.
A doctor,
right. Right. Yeah.
And what else, a barber, a doctor, a shoychit, a moil, a shail, the tablets in the parentheses. You have to have a moil, you have to have maybe a tabach, you have to have a barber, you have to have the bloodletter,
right.
And you have to have Malami Timaikos, people that collect tzedakah, you have to have two collectors. If you go to see the Zemul Gemara, if you go to a city and there's no one coming to shul to collect money, there are no shnoros, get out. There's something wrong with the city. Isn't that amazing? If no one comes to knock on your door, that says you should know. Then if someone comes to collect, you right away say, Baruch Hashem, I'm living in a good city. Because it's a healthy sign. If there are shnoras, this is a sign of health. You should thank them, should embrace them, and kiss them, give them what to drink, give them food, and give them money. The most important thing is if you have money to give them, give them money. Remember, lo yechdal evyoin mikeref aretz. Don't abuse them. Don't abuse them. This is the way of the world. Just because it's very easy to insult them. Go get a job, go do this, go do that. It's a mitzias. Lo yechdal evyoin mikeref aretz. So it's a good sign. So here's what does the Mara say? If the city does not have fruit, if you don't have a blue ribbon, you don't have, what are the good food stores over here? The blue Eddie. Eddie is no longer, what do? He sold it right a long time ago. What?
Locals,
they don't want to pay his bills.
They didn't pay his bills.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, but tzaddik. But if there's no fruit store, then you're not going to live there. Why? Because fruit is meir esoinayim. It enlightens you. It opens up your eyes. Now, what does that mean? It means, on one hand, simply there must be some physical reality. Is that it's healthy, right? Fruit and vegetables is healthy, but on another level, fruit represents a certain. Fruits are luxuries. You don't need fruit to survive. If Hashem did not make in this world fruit, if Hashem made a world where there's only grain and water, we would survive. The body can. Doctors tell us the body can the right diet. You don't need fruit.
Flavor.
So what is a fruit? You make a special bracha. Fruit is a luxury. Fruit is nothing more than a bonus, icing on the cake. It's a bonus. You don't need fruit to survive. The body can handle bread and water and whatever to get through. So Hashem gave us a gift. He didn't only put us in this world to survive, bare bones. He gave us perks. He gave us
quality of life.
And the Chazal say, that quality of life, what does it do for a person? It opens up his eyes. It enables him to see the world in an entirely different light. To appreciate the world. If we live in a world of just bread and water, oh no, so you do your avodas Hashem, you know, you shakel, and you daven, and you learn. But life would not have, you wouldn't have big hasagas. You wouldn't have more of an appreciation. You wouldn't be able to lift up your eye, open up your eyes, and see the world, see the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a much, much higher, exalted caliber than what we do. That's what the Gemara says. You have to live in a city where the people have big hasagas. They have to have aspirations for great big things to build, to accomplish. When will a city have hasagas? If they have a department store and they're selling Gucci, a Hugo Boss, and all these fancy things, there's a Tiffany shop in the city, that's a good sign. Because that means people, their mayor is Sinai, and they have hasagas for luxuries. That means people's minds are open, and that translates into ruchnius as well. Zel umazel baruch. A person has a hasaga to go buy a fancy car, has a hasaga to learn ganshas. It's a mitzvah. A person.
Does that really work?
Yeah, it's a mitzvah. A person has no hasaga. Okay, so today the person has to go buy. You're not going to go buy a fancy car. What's it called, Tesla, right? That's the fanciest car. Say they overtook BMW. They overtook Mercedes. They're now the most expensive. If someone doesn't have big hasagas, so in ruchnius they have no hasagas either. Okay, but today you're not going to go buy a Tesla because you know all the rabbanim will say you're meshugan. What are you doing over here? Everyone is so poor. How dare you go and flaunt your wealth in front of Pharisee? Okay, fine. But bitsina, person has hasagas in gashmius. That's a healthy sign. He has hasagas and ruchnius. And a city that doesn't have, you don't see luxuries in the city, you don't see fancy cars going around in the street in the city, Paris, then you're not going to have hasagas for ruchnius either. So here, I just want to point it over here, this possible based upon the daft, yesterday, was it 2 days ago, Yud Ches, whatever, I remember, yesterday's, I don't remember whatever it is, but based upon whatever it says, yesterday's daft, verbeisi es pri hoetz, when Mashiach comes, Hashem's also going to be marbe, the gashmias, the luxuries. And that's going to translate into being meir esweinayim, to open up your eyes and see big hasagas and ruchnias. Good morning. Okay, now let's see over here what's in the Bunopas, Pasuk Lam, and Olive, Zachartim, and Starkechem, Hodoiman, and Hashem says, I will remember. But let's first do these sukkim before we come. Before we get to that part, let's just go over these psukim over here in the Mitsudos, starting with Pasik, where are we up to the Mepharshim? Pasik Chavches? Yeah, Pasik Chavches. Okay, Pasik Chavches to Pasik Lamed. Vishav Chavches, La'am Lahamen Bi V'lishmar Mitzvosai. Okay, so you'll live in the land which I've given to your forefathers, and you'll be to me as a nation to be believe in me and to guard my mitzvos le'elokim la'azor lochem loshia aschem, and I will be to you as a God. I will assist you. Chavtes
v'shati. You know what that's telling us? There are two components. There is being a nation. There's a nation living on a land, and then there's their religion.
Okay, very good.
So just because you're living in the land
doesn't mean you're religious.
Well, it's not the whole story. Right. One without the other is a problem.
What if you have diversity in your religion, like America? We're not one.
This is not our son. We're talking about us.
Eretz Yisrael. So there is diversity in religion in Eretz Yisrael. If all different types of Jews, you have the. Okay, look in this neighborhood. You have every type of orthodoxy. There's how many branches of orthodoxy can you break it down to? Probably 10, 15. Look, that's what they say about the Kohanim. That's one of my favorite verses about the 24 mishmars of Kohanim. Each mishmar lived in their own city. each mishmar was a unique flavor of Yiddishkeit. There was a city of Kohanim that we would call today Belz Hasidim. There was a city of Kohanim you would call Satma Hasidim. Then there was a city of Kohanim that were the Litvaks. Okay, the Litvaks. They shakel, you know, they shakel, and they, you know what a Litvak is? It's like Pachah. You know what Pachah is?
Yeah.
Pachah. Pachah, it shakels. Okay, it shakels. And there are three things about Pachah. It's cold. You eat it cold. And if you try to warm it up, it gets ruined. A Litvak shakels. It's a kalta Litvak, no emotion. And if you try to tell him a chassidish shavart, he gets ruined. He doesn't know what to do with himself. This is a Litvak. And then you have modern orthodoxy. Okay, don't get scared. Okay, and then you'll have what other? You have a dati lumi mizrahi. That's not modern orthodoxy. It's a whole different schnitt. And then you have I don't know. You know better than me. So when you went to the Beis Hamikdash, when you walked in, then you have the Teimonim, the Sfardim, which have many different groups, the Bukharim, and the Sfardim, the Merakins, the Yemenites, 24 cities of Kohanim. They didn't live together. Every city was unique flavor of Yiddishkeit. When they came in their week to the Beis Hamikdash, they took over the Mikdash. Oh, let's see, they took over the Mikdash. No, it was the menorah. There was a Chabad city of Kohanim. So in the Beis Hamikdash, they had two menorahs. I'm not joking. They had two menorahs. They had a menorah that was round. They had a menorah that was round. And they had a menorah that was a V. So in the Litvaks, when the Litvaks were in charge, their week of the Mishmar, so they took out of storage the round menorah. And the Kohen, who was in charge, he lit the round menorah. When Chabad came in for their week, they took away the round menorah, they took out the V menorah. I'm not joking. And the Lechem Aponim, how do you make Lechem Aponim? Is it round or is it square? Well, the Teimonim, their tradition is to make round Lechem Aponim. And the Hasidim, the bells, they make square Lechem Aponim. So in each... What?
Square.
Square, okay? So every group of, there were 24 cities of Kohanim. And each, and they're all kosher. You can't tell me that one menorah is more kosher than the other. Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chaim. This is our tradition. The Gemara has two different types of lechem upon him. So it's very different. The whole daf Gemara and Menachos. Elu v'elu. So when each mishmar of Kohanim came into the Beis Hamikdash, it's our week. And we do things in the Beis Hamikdash our way. Yom Tif, I don't know. Maybe whatever the Mishmar was for that Yom Tif, even though in that week all the Kohanim served together, they all served together, but it's primarily a week of this particular Mishmar. It's primarily the weeks, there are 24 weeks, and whenever Yom Tif falls out, so everyone has to be kafuf to that Mishmar. No, not.
So many Shmaras, which means you had 48 weeks. You had 4 weeks that weren't accounted for. Those were the Yom Tov.
Yom Tov? Okay, could be. So then maybe there was some cycle where they alternated. Maybe it was a system.
Where the Kohen Gadol determined it.
Or whatever he came from, in a Hanami.
Whatever the boss said.
So in the Beis Hamikdash, it's clear as day there was enormous diversity. Every week it changed. There was a whole turnover.
Even the women came in who were not.
Maybe they're different minhagim. In some mishmaros, they allow the women to participate. And in some mishmaros, they didn't allow. In Achanami, there was diversity in the Beis HaMikdash, and this is seen clearly in the fact that there were 24 cities of Kohanim. The Chazal said, and each city had its unique approach to Yiddishkeit. And they're all good, they're all valid, and everyone was tolerant. Just like today, the vast majority of Jews are very tolerant of their friends. Don't know, the empty cans make a lot of noise. Okay, some people make a lot of trouble. But everyone more or less gets along today. Everyone has respect for each other. You go to the airport, you see it's different place by the Kaisel where different people come together. Everyone is very tolerant. You got to be a fool not to be tolerant of someone else. Okay, so some people they get a little worked up sometimes. There's some fights here and there. What a flare up! But Ruba de Ruba, listen, Ruba de Ruba. We live in America. It's one big melting pot. We all know it to be true. We all know it's no big deal to be tolerant of one another. And that's how it was in the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, so therefore, this is the idea of Yosh. Let's go back. Go further over here in Pasuk Chavtes. And the mitzvah does the Gishad Yasem Yisrael Lema Archik Yasem Mikol Tumasa. Look at what he said. Over here, the mitzvah of here is saying a non literal translation for the word Vihoshati. I point out to you, this is a very bizarre expression. I'm going to save you. What do I mean I'm going to save you? I'm going to save you from yourself. So he said, I'm going to distance you. I'm going to distance you Eschem Mikol Tumasa Avoyin Sheyisem Regilim, which you are accustomed to. Ki Yo'ir Levavam. Lios, I'm going to Hashem. I'm going to inspire you to be careful. Lios nizhari mehem. The korasi l'adam v'yirasi also written. Atzavesh sheyifre v'yibra. I'm going to command the grain that it should produce to multiply. Leman la'am pasuk la'am. Leman written. Lomar written. Lomar be'ofin shlo tekablu oid bagoyim chevas ruav ki mi'oz lo yikru lechem chaseri lechem. You'll no longer, the chil Hashem will no longer be that you are people who need international aid. You will not need international aid. You will not be. You will, instead, you will be people who. You will be the one who will provide food for the entire world, and that's the way it is today. When the state of Israel was founded, they needed an enormous amount of international aid just to survive. It was a very big question. That was the whole big issue with Germany. Should they take money from Germany? If not for the money they got from Germany, what's it called? What's the English word? Reparations. They would not. They would not be a state. I mean, that's the common thinking.
They're still getting it today?
But at that point, now, if they wouldn't get it, they would survive. They would survive without it. They don't need it today. Now it's just a bonus. But in the early days of the state, I don't know anything about history, but from the little bit that I've read and I've heard on lectures, is that in the early founding of the state of Israel, if they would not have taken the money from Germany, the reparations, that money, that's it. They can shut their doors. They would have shut down. It was so. That's a chil Hashem. So is that not a chil Hashem that the nation that destroyed 6 million Jews, they're the ones now that have to go pay the bills? It's not a chil Hashem. Pretty big chil Hashem. So Hashem said when Mashiach comes, it's not going to be like that. The people that go, your enemies, are not going to be the ones that are going to be paying the bills. You'll be paying their bills. It'll be the other way around, and you'll no longer suffer the shame of the nations. Pasuk, okay, now let's see what's in Rashi. There is none again about the Mitzvot, the Sipsukim, starting from Pasuk Chav Zayin to Pasuk Lamed. Chav Zayin is V'yesruchi, Ketarguma V'yesruchi, Pasuk Chav Zayin already, Pasuk Chav Tes, V'yashati, Karasi, Ki'ilu, Ani Korei, Elov, She'yirbe, Be, Hamtiri, Elov. It's as if I'm going to call upon the grain that it should increase when I add rain. I'm going to guard the land from the strong winds, from yerokon means from the grain rotting, and from other types of calamities, I will protect the land. Pasuk Lamed is verbasi losuchoid cherbas rava goyim ki eretz yisrael tzricha legasham yosem in aratzas ha'acheros. It needs more rain than other nations.
Therefore,
beggar
nation.
What?
They will not be a
beggar nation. Being that they need rain more than other nations, therefore it's more common for there to be famine. Avraham, Yitzhak, Elimelech. And the truth is, Avraham, Yitzhak, there was a famine. There was a famine in the land in the time of Avraham, there was a famine in the time of Yitzhak, and there was a famine, the Elimelech, the time of Rus Hamoraviyah, that's why they left. That's why Elimelech and his two sons and their two wives, they left the land. When you have to leave the land because there is nothing to eat in the land, Yaakov. But Yehakim Rashi did not mention Yaakov.
He didn't have to go through all of it. There are 10, in that particular matter, there were 10 fifths.
Famines. Okay, so he only mentions Avraham, Yitzhak, and Elimelech. Interesting. Elimelech was the last? No, it wasn't the last.
No.
Okay. Or whatever. He mentions three of the ten. Fine.
Yaakov didn't actually suffer a famine. No. He had, and then he went down to Mitzrayim. The famine was over when he got down there.
But he left Canaan. He left Eretz Yisrael. Because
under duress, he was okay. Some of the Mefarshim say that the reason he left was he didn't want other people not to be
Mar Sinai.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
That's one.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, whatever it is. In any event, it's a Cherva Goyim. Pasuk Lamed Alf. Okay, now comes shame. Now we come to the recognition of our shame. At this point, the Mefesh Baruch Hu is so kind to us. we're going to reflect upon our averos, our evil ways, uma al lechem asher lo yitovim, and our deeds which are no good. Unikoto sem bifnecha. We had this a few times. You're going to cut yourself off. The word unikoto sem loshem krisa. You're going to cut. You're going to be disgusted with yourself. You're going to wish about yourself that you cut yourself down and disappear.
Self-loathing.
Al avonoseichem v'al toy avonoseichem, due to your sins and your abominations. We're going to recognize how good Hashem was to us, it is to us, and how much we do not deserve this kindness because of our great sins. It's painful. It's painful. It basically means we failed the purpose of this world. This is the famous Yisrael Ramchal. The famous Yisrael Ramchal is, why did Hashem need to create this world? What is this all about? What's the whole world all about? Classic question, classic answer is, Nahama Dikisufa, bread of shame. Hashem wants to be native. Hashem wants to create a neshama and give that neshama infinite blessing. Put that neshama into a Gan Eden. Problem is, when the neshama goes into Gan Eden, it cannot enjoy itself because it's put to shame. What did I do to deserve this blessing? Nothing. I'm a free rider. There's no time, there's no pleasure in being a free rider. I have to earn my keep. So what did Hashem do? I'm going to put you in this world, a world of Hester Panim. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do Torah mitzvos, to make good decisions, to recognize that I exist, and thus you will earn your keep in Gan Eden, and you'll no longer feel the shame. Now all that would be fine and good if we would do Torah mitzvos. If indeed we would succeed. But the problem is we failed. Problem is Hashem's going to give us all the good that he intended, and not only have we not earned it, we were makalkel. We did averos which should have denied us from receiving the good. So it's not a very pleasant experience. That's what it says. Pasuk Lamedes, Lo Lamanchmani Oisa Hashem. I'm not doing this for your sake, Hashem. This is a very, very insulting words to us. When I give you all of this blessing, when time Mashiach comes, it's not for your sake. Ani Oisinu Hashem Lokim Yivoda Lachem. Let that be clear to you. It's like when the Mishnah Berurah says Da, make sure you understand this. Hashem says Yivoda Lachem. May it be known to you that the blessing that I'm going to give to you is not because you deserve it. You don't deserve it. Boshu v'kolmu, you should be ashamed. You should be ashamed. Two expressions of shame, midar chechem, from your evil ways, base Yisrael. Okay, powerful stuff.
Idea, like saying that God failed.
God failed?
God made a mistake.
No.
If we fail,
yeah,
and He created this creation, that means He made a mistake in judgment.
Well, that's part of what people want to say. Ki nichamti ki asi sin.
I regret that I made man.
Is that the logical?
These are asking very deep questions, which I'm way over my head. Well, these are philosophical questions, way over my head. You can't say that because that's the Tzur Tamim Pa'alo Gichol Derochav Mishpat. Okay, that's the starting point. Hashem is perfect. Hashem, I know there's somebody in Sanhedrin that says that the reason why you bring carbon Chablis and Rosh Chodesh because the Kodesh Baruch Hu says I've sinned. I was Mimayit the Levana. So how do you reconcile the bring a Chatos La Hashem? We bring a chatas, a carbon chatas for Hashem because Hashem didn't have air. What does that mean? Is that because this Hashem was chayte on Rosh Chodesh with what it says in the pasuk, Hatsur Tamim Pa'alo Kichol Derochav Mishpat.
Keep in mind that Pesukim are written in Lashon Bnei, which means in our perception it looks that way.
It looks that way. But the emes is Hatsur Tamim Pa'alo Kichol Derochav Mishpat. We don't understand anything. Tzadik v'raloi, Rasha v'toivloi. There's no answer to this question, and everything to which there is no answer falls under that category. So that's we'll leave with that. There's nothing more to say. Okay, let's see what it says over here in the Mefarshim Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Lamed Aleph is Zechartim Kasher Tizku Darchechem Haram. When you remember your evil ways, Os Tikarsu Be'enei Atzmechem. In your own eyes, you're going to cut yourself off. You're going to wish you can dig a grave and jump in. You'll be so embarrassed, so ashamed to see how good Hashem is to us despite the fact that we have rebelled against Him. Ritzon Elohimar, atem tishbitu hakirisa al atzmechem. You will judge yourself that you deserve karis. You deserve to be cut off. Ba'avur ha'ra'os sha'asisem, due to the sins that you have committed, the disoimur shebedin nichratem ba'goyla, you then come to acknowledge, you'll be matztik l'ves adin, we deserve to go into exile. Okay, pasik, the next pasik in Metzilas, Lamed, no, that's Lamed Beis, okay, la'lo, ani oiseh, Hashem says, I'm not going to bring the gula for your sake, as a gula hazos, yivada lachem, yeh, yadu lachem, she'in ha'gula l'manchem, ki boshu v'kolmu b'darchichem asher lo'y tovim, ve'einichem kadoim lo'havi ha'gilu, you're not worthy, kedai. That's a great word. I love that word. Kedai. I always thought it was a yeshivshu word, but it's not. It's using chazal all over the place. It's not kedai. It's not a yeshivshu term. That's a real biblical term. You have it all over the mefarshim. Rashi uses it very often. Ve'einchem kedoim lohavi hagula. You're not worthy that I should bring the gula on your behalf. I'm doing it lemanchem. I'm doing it for lemani Hashem. I'm doing it for my sake, not for your sake. Rashi, is there any Rashi over here? Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Uni koytosem bifnechem. So what does that mean, Michal?
Demanir. In French means to melt.
To melt. That's not what it says in the Mitzudos. Okay, so you're going to melt.
You will melt. Timaku
be'atzmechem. Bivoshtechem. Your shame. The shame will cause you to melt away. Al hagamul harasher gimaltim lefanai. You have repaid Hashem. Meshalim ro'o tachas toiva vani goimel lochem toiva. I give you good and you in exchange give me bad. When you'll recognize that this has been the situation your entire existence, you'll melt away. Radak, starting with Pasik Lamit Aleph, says v'zachartem unikotosem bifnechem tiyu nichrosim b'eini atzmechem. Kishetizkru avoinosechem, remember your sins of time, bedin hichrisanu, hakel yisparach, v'yiglonu mi'artzenu. Hashem was just in cutting us off and exiling us from his land. V'yonosan tegem v'sidan kun usohon chozan. I don't know what those words mean. What does it know those words mean? I don't know.
Which
targum. V'sidan kun. V'sidan kun usohon chozan.
In your own eyes, whenever you mention your iniquities, you will say, with justice, meaning justly, God cut us off and exiled us from our land.
So what's v'si daknun mean? And what does it mean chaz chozan? I have to prepare more.
I don't know
what these words. Okay, let's have to go further. Pasuk lam beis lo levanchem boshu v'kamu dinhu shetevosh v'sikamu ki darchem horoim. You deserve it. V'ani yotzi eschem in oam v'avi eschem al artzchem u'mashama lo levanchem lo levanchem l'marel shelo yeitzu mi'agolus al yidei teshuva. Teaches us, it reveals to us that you will not leave golus. Alidei teshuva, it's not enough. Our teshuva is not sufficient. Ukvar herachnu b'zehu in sefer Yeshayahu b'pasik vayar ki ein ish. Okay, I don't know what he says there, but obviously this very complex issue is what's the gula all about? Is the gula going to come in our merit? Be'ita achishana. Mitzad echad, it's going to come. Be'ita, there's a predestined time when Mashiach will come no matter what, whether we deserve it or not. But then there is achishana, to hasten the gula. The gula will come before its predestined time if we do teshuva. So there is something called doing teshuva. So what then does it mean over here when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the gula didn't come, lo lemanchem, it's not going to come in your minute, it's going to come because I want to do so. Maybe this only alludes to the gula of be'ita. Okay, maybe this is only one piece of the puzzle, one aspect of the gula. Even if you do absolutely nothing, the gula will come be'ita in its predestined time in the end of days.
Probably included debate about this in Parakaila.
Okay, so when is the predestined time? We have a tradition in year 6,000. How do you calculate 6,000 years? That's a very big mystery.
Right.
It doesn't mean that right now we're 5,777. It means when we get to year 6,000, that's called year 6,000. That's not necessarily 6,000. 6,000 has its own calculation, just like it was a very big mystery, the 70 years of Geula from the time of the Bayis Rishon. So no one knew what it meant. Everyone, the greatest of the great, everyone made a mistake until they figured out what it meant 70 years. And just like no one knew what it meant, you're going to be in the Mitzrayim for 400 years. Vavodim the inu oisam arba meyoshana. So what does that refer to? Well, the war 430 years, 210 years, 86 years, they're all different numbers.
Yeah.
How do they play out? So too, Rabbi Rise, he has a gevaldik shiur, a meridik shiur on this topic, because he shows it 10 times. He showed him the shiur, he spent an hour on this. Once, Mr. Shabbos, 100 years ago, I remember this, he said 10 times in Jewish history do we find that the Jewish people made a mistake in calculating the year. 10 different matzav and situations. Okay. And he concluded that now when it comes to the year 6,000, so if Rachmana Litzlan, okay, it comes the year 6,000, and Mashiach doesn't come, we're not going to, we should be around for a long time, we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very big Nisayan for Klal Yisrael. It's going to be a very big Nisayan, because, well, what?
First of all, the 6,000 on a very simplistic level, right, is based on gracious.
Yeah, on a very simplistic level. Right. Just like 70 years, also a very simplistic number, right? 70 years is also a very simple number. And 400 is also a very simple number.
There's no reason to doubt that. It just,
why?
The question is our count correct?
First of all, what does it say is 6,000? It doesn't really say it anywhere.
It's based on Seder Bereishis.
There are 7 days, every day, Yoyim Beinechak Elef Shana. One day on Hashem, by 1,000 years is one day. There are 7 days of Bereishis. There are so Yom HaShishi. What does that mean?
Expression.
These are midrashim. These are things
right.
which are very.
So don't discount them so fast.
Okay, we're not going to discount them, right? But you know, it's not so simple.
But that's where the concept.
Okay, so it's going fine.
And but, also, I guess it's popular because it's a round number and it hasn't hit yet.
It was a fantastic shir, and he goes on to say is. Don't think you know the calculation. Just because it says we have a tradition 6,000 years, we know better than the Bnei Ephraim, who also had a calculation of when is the time of the Gul they left. The Bnei Ephraim, they left. They were convinced. It was clear to them that it's time to leave Egypt. They left 30 years too early. They made a calculation of 400 years.
So that's why we're told not to speculate.
Not to speculate, right.
Because raising expectation, and it's happened in the past. It's happened to us in the past, and it's happened to other religions and belief systems.
Shabbat Tzvi.
Make a mistake, you know, in one of these cults made very well known. They made a mistake. They picked a specific date. The date came and it didn't happen. And there's a whole school of psychology that follows what happens to a group after that point. You know. That's cognitive dissonance, and you know, at first there's a burst of proselytizing and rationalizing, and then afterwards it fades out.
All right, absolutely. Okay, so let's now go a little bit more, a few more minutes. Pasuk Chav Lama Gimel. On the day when I purify you from all of your sins, v'hoshavti es harim. And I restore the mountains, all of the cities are going to be restored, the people of the Nivnu Hecharavos, and the ruins will be built. Pasuk Lamed Daled, V'aretz HaNishama Tehaveh, the land that was Nishama, until this point in time means it was desolate, Shamein. Now it will be restored, Tehaveh, it will be worked, people will work the land, they will plow, they will tachas, Asher Chaysa Shemama, in exchange for being desolate, le'enei kol over, to the eyes of all people who pass through the land. In years past, when someone would come to visit the land, they would be nishtoimim on the desolation, and now things are going to change. Pasuk Lamed Hey, v'yamun v'yosei aretz ha'lezu. Ha'lezu. Lezu means this. Lezu means this. Ha'neshama, that is desolate. Ha'isa has become Kigan Eden. This is what the nations will say, the land that in the past that was desolate has become Kigan Eden, the Heorim and the mountains, the cities. So there is Hecha Revois, the Haneshamois, the Haneherosois. All these expressions, the cities that were desolate, Choreif, destroyed, Neshamois, Shameim, another word which means the same thing, the Haneherosois means demolished. Now, Bitsuros Yoshavu, they have now been built up as fortresses. Pasuk Lamed Vav, V'yodu Hagon B'Megdesh will know, Ki Asher Yisharu Sivivo Seichem, the nations that will remain. Here we're dealing with Melchemes Goyg U'Magog. Not every nation will survive this battle. So those nations that are fortunate to survive this war, they will now know, Ki Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, Bonisi HaNeherosos, I have built the demolished cities, Notati HaNeshama, I have planted what is desolate, Ani Hashem, Dibarti, I have spoken, Diosis, and I have done. Okay, there's a lot of repetition, obviously each word over here links to big things. Only one thing I want to point out over here, the word Halezu. What a word. What's the word Halezu? Look at the Mitsudos. There is no Mitsudos David. He translates the word Halezu. What? Mitsudos Sion. Halezu Hazos. The word Halezu is a word which laws. Ha'etzem Halos Hazos v'chinyam v'losh zocho ish ha'loz zeh. Losh of zeh. Okay, now even though here it's zu, like zu and zo and ze, all different variations of the word zayin vav, zayin hey, and you add a lamed to get a little more emphasis, halozeh. But it also refers to the luz bone. What's the luz bone? The luz bone is the bone that's behind the nape, and that's where we put the dal of the kesher shel tefillin, and that luz bone, Chazal tell us, is indestructible. It is indestructible, and from that bone comes Techiyas HaMesim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reconstitute a human being, it starts with that mashu. There's no such thing as yesh me'ayin. There's always a yesh, there's always a sprout from which the Techiyas HaMesim said will be reconstituted. We learned it a while ago, I told you about the Kaisel HaMaravi. It's incredible. The Ramchal says that just like a human being has a luz bone, and from that luz bone it's indestructible, and it's necessary in order to bring a Techiyas HaMesim. The Beis HaMikdash has a luz bone. What is the indestructible luz bone of the Beis HaMikdash from which it will be reconstituted, resurrected? The Koisel HaMaravi. That's the words of the Ramchal. The words of Ramchal. And so here, that's what this Pasuk Lam He is alluding to. The Amru Ha'aretz HaLeizu HaNeshama. The earth is the luz bone of the world. Okay, to some degree, Eretz Yisrael is indestructible. It's indestructible. Other parts of this world, you know, California can just collapse into the ocean. Chas v'shalom. They're trying to say this all the years. Yeah. Hasn't happened yet. Okay, it's on a fault. What's it on? It's on a...
It's on a fault.
So it can just separate and become a new country.
A new country.
They're trying anyway, even before.
That's one form of calories.
Okay, and it's worse. It can just fall into the ocean. It can just, who, no one knows what can happen. No one knows. Look, we all know there are islands. There are islands all over the world that disappeared. That's a fact. There are islands that have completely disappeared due to changes in the environment, in the ecology, whatever it's all about. Global warming, whatever you want to call it, that's a reality. That's happened. It has happened that there have been islands that disappear from the face of the earth. So who knows? It could happen to a whole country. Not Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael Ha'aretz HaLezu. Miloshen Luz. Luz. Luz is the term Chazal used for the bone that is indestructible. Eretz Yisrael is indestructible. So you have now another term to add to your collection of terms. We always like terms to refer to Eretz Yisrael. We should really collect them in a nice fashion, put them in a list, but here is another term, and that is why we are choosing this word over here. Now let's see what it says in the Farshan Pasuk, starting Pasuk Lamed Gimel, the Mitzvah Stavid, Lamed Gimel. Lamed Gimel says in the Mitzvah Stavid, B'yom Tari, we return to Lomar, K'sh'achaper Alechim, and I will atone upon you, V'yoshafti, L'yos Miyushavos, B'an Hashim, I will settle you, Kloshen of Shav, I will restore you to be established with people. Lamedal Hanashama, desolate. Asher he shoyimema. In the past, it was desolate. Te'avei will now be worked. The land will be toil. Will be worked. Oz bacharisha uvizria. Lamedhev yamru ha'ivrim derechba yismehu v'yamru hinei aretz hazosh ha'isa neshama. Wow! Look what happened. Ha'isa ata kegan hanetua ke'eden. It's now like Gan Eden. A Gan that's planted Be'eden in Eden. Then we had a discussion, is Eden the larger area or is the Gan the larger area? Which one? We had a Stira. Mm-hmm. some place it's mashma that that Eden is the larger area and the Gan is within. Is within. And then we had a pasuk that told Pumfakert. It's that the Gan is the large area, and in Gan there's a place called Eden. In this pasuk it says that from the perspective of the Umay Sa'ilam, it is Eden that is the larger area, and it's the Gan that's the small area within. Maybe from our perspective, it's just the opposite. Okay, that's, we had a discussion. Gan Be'eden. Okay, so that's like this. Gan Be'eden. Okay, so that was a different topic, but that's over here, it's in this order. It's a Gan, that's literally what the Mitzvah learns, and they'll say it's Ata Ki Gan Hanetua Be'eden. He makes it very clear that's what it means. Next words of the Mitzvah saw in Be'etzuos Yashavu, these cities have been turned into fortresses. The city has now been turned into a fortress city. What? So why do we need it? So maybe it's just, I guess maybe, I'm assuming, you're saying very good. Maybe what it means, like just like in the base Hamigdash, you have to have Kohanim to do Shmira and Levim. Who's coming to rob the base Hamigdash? Right? There's no one's coming to rob. It's covered. It's a certain dignity to have. It's not a shomer because you're really afraid someone's going to rob the Beis HaMikdash. It's just a kavod. So too the walls. They somehow give a certain yofi to the city. We have a walled city, even though the walls, you don't need any protection. There's some type of dignity, or maybe it's a marker. Until this point in play, you can eat the kachek halim outside the walls of this. You can eat the kachek halim. So l'chol, you're right. It's not for protection. It's for
bars to
keep
people out of, to keep those that are inside in.
Okay. Look, today, a walled city is a joke. What do you need walls for today? You have airplanes, you have drones. I mean, what does a wall really do in modern day for an army? Suddenly they still have doors and walls and doors, but it's very little, relatively speaking.
Why is Israel out of doors?
Why are they building a wall? Okay, so I take it back. You're right. You gotta keep. All right. He's saying a wall still has its place in society. Okay, let's go further. You remind me something about people in right, Tversky. Tversky is he wrote 100 books, and he's a psychologist. I mean, one thing I always remember, he says that when he was walking in the mental ward, in the hospital, and he had keys in his pocket. Today no one has keys anymore, so everything is electronic, but he wrote this in one of his books, and the keys were jingling in his pocket as he was walking down the hall. So one of the patients said to Dr. Tversky, you know, it's not nice that when you walk down the hall, we can hear your keys jingle. It reminds us that we're locked in here. You have the keys to get out. Now, you can't, in the mental ward, you can't get out unless you have a key. Normally, you need a key. You need a key to get in. In the mental ward, you need a key to get out, because everyone will just walk out. You're locked in. Only the doctors have keys to get out. So this patient, he said to him, it's not nice. You walk around, your keys jingle in your pocket. We hear this sound of jingling keys. It's a painful reminder. You have the keys and we don't. We're stuck here. We're stuck here in this location. Sensitivity. And he says, he writes too, that he was so taken aback. He says, they're right. It's right. You have to be sensitive. And Mikan al-Haba, he was very careful that the keys should not make any noise when he would walk. Okay, that's just a side thing which you just reminded me when you mentioned about the cities and the walls and getting in and getting out. Let's finish up over here. We did the Mitzvah very quickly. There's not much left to do. And the Rashi Pasik La Medalit says, Eretz HaNeshama, the land that's Neshama, Te'avel Haaretz, Asher Haisa Shemama, Ad Hei Netiyah Ne'avedes, V'Nizras, will be worked and planted. La Medhei Haisa Gan Eden, Achshav Nehefcha, Liyos Ki Gan Eden, Ve'arim Nehecha Revos, Ze Yomim Rabim, that these cities for Yomim Rabim, for 2,000 years that have been desolate, Achshav, Bitsuros Yoshavu, have been settled as fortresses. Things have changed. We're in shock how things have turned around so quickly. Let's see Radak, and we're done. Starting with Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Radak says, "Chayim Hashem v'nivnu hecharavoyz ha'hei b'segel v'aches b'komatz chatav harish b'komatz chay lamed dalim v'vahu lamed hev yamu v'oid b'oida shemama hayu oimim ha'iv ha'ivrim b'kain." When it was desolate, people said, "There's nothing here." It's but the past, the people will pass by, made these comments. But now it's a new world. V'yonasam tekeim ki achas shatoshav liyishuva yamu kain. V'yemun ara dikein, this land, di Yisrael, the Havas in the past was Sadia, was barren. Tovas has transformed, l'mehevei, kiginta, like a garden, the Eden of Eden, the Kirvaya, and the cities, Chorvos, so that were once destroyed, v'tzad yosa, umfag rosa, kachrin, takifin, other things, other different areas, have now been transformed in Krakin, Takifin, mighty cities, Yisivun. It's the same exact thing as what it said in the Radak before. Veharim hecharavos v'tziri haresh, lamed vav, v'leis pasik, v'yadu, then they're going to know, asher yisharu seviv v'yisayem, v'ra'u b'churbana, v'yiru b'yishuva, kim'at zman. Those who saw the transformation of this city, yedu ki lohoye yachol yoz davar zeh elam me'akel yisparach. Beautiful words. They will know that the transformation, what, 70 years now, the state of Israel, it's unprecedented in world history to go from a state of mamish, of nothing, to the most sophisticated, the modern city in the world.
Startup nation.
It's beyond. It's an act of God. There is no way in the world that you can be transformed in such a short period of time to go mikotza lekotza, unless it was the Yad Hashem who has done this. Ani Hashem dibarti v'yosisi v'dibarti at zeh al yidei ha-nevim v'chei nosisi k'mo shedibarti. These psukim mamish, a lot of these things have happened in our lifetime. These things, you have to be blind to ignore the fact, the transformation of Eretz Yisrael in our lifetime from the way it started when we were children to what it is now, each person in their age, it's just mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling, the transformation. And it's a fulfillment of the words of the Navi, of the words of Yirmiyah, the words of Yechezkel, the words of Yeshaya, and that's exactly what Rashi here says.
And yet, how few see it that way?
We want to make ourselves blind, so we make ourselves blind, but reality speaks for itself. Okay. Well,